Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia for this Friday, February 3rd in Hong Kong, Thursday, February 2nd in New York. And coming up today,
U.S. equities rally as the market anticipates the Fed's tightening cycle may be nearing its peak.
Apple, Amazon, and Alphabet shares all slump after mixed earnings results.
And the ECB and BOE hike rates by a half point to combat inflation.
Xi Jinping to meet with Antony Blinken in Beijing. China moves to blunt new U.S. alliances regarding chip supply. Partisan politics roars anew in the House. I'm Ed Baxter with Global News.
A PSG star is expected to miss a key matchup due to an injury. I'm Dan Schwartzman. I'll have that story and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Doug Krisner.
And I'm Brian Curtis. Here are the stories we're following today. We begin with Apple, the company reporting a steeper sales decline in its holiday period than Wall Street feared. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It shows the toll of an economic slowdown and lingering supply snags on what was long one of the tech industry's most resilient companies. Apple said revenue in the fiscal first quarter dropped 5.5% to $117.2 billion. Now, that was well short of the average Wall Street estimate of $121.1 billion. The iPhone and Mac were particular weak spots for Apple during the quarter, dragged down by a broader slump afflicting mobile devices and computers. COVID-19 restrictions in China added to Apple's woes, making it harder to ship enough of the most popular versions of the iPhone. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Initially, the stock traded down about 4%, but when Tim Cook talked about demand coming back in China, the stock pared its losses. It's still down 1%. Doug?
Yeah, we also heard from Amazon after the bell. Those shares weaker by about 1.3% right now. Mixed results after the closing bell, and we have the story from Tom Busby.
Well, even though holiday sales on Amazon's e-commerce site rose 9% to $149 billion in revenue, profits were weaker than anticipated last quarter. Sales growth slowed at Amazon Web Services. That's its cash cow cloud computing division. Another big concern for investors, projections for lackluster revenue in the current quarter. That's on worries that tight-fisted consumers may pull back on their spending amid a lot of economic uncertainty. Shares of Amazon down sharply in after-hours trading. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Tom, Google parent Alphabet reported lackluster earnings after the closing bell, and we get that story from Bloomberg's Ann Cates.
Fourth quarter earnings at Alphabet came in below forecasts and revenue missed the mark. Alphabet announced last month that it's cutting 12,000 jobs. Now the owner of Google says it needs less office space. Alphabet is looking for ways to save money. Alphabet also says revenue from its biggest sources, ad revenue from Google searches and YouTube views, slowed last quarter amid economic uncertainty. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
All right, Ann, thank you. Well, as we know, it's been a very busy week for central banks. We had the Fed yesterday. Today, the European Central Bank lifted its key rate 50 basis points, a half point, right? So the deposit rate now at 2.5%, the highest level we've seen since 2008. Here's Christine Lagarde warning of a similar move next month.
It should be 50 this time around. It should be it is intended to be 50 in March. Now, you will say, well, yes, but what about after March? does that mean that you have reached the pinnacle or the peak? No, 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 no. We know that we have ground to cover. We know that we are not done.
Yes, Madame Lagarde said the ECB's inflation outlook is improving given that drop in energy prices. Now, the ECB's governing council gave more details on plans to shrink that 5 trillion euro bond portfolio. A monthly cap of 15 billion euros in maturing debt will now be allowed to expire between March and June.
In the meantime, Doug, Bank of England policymakers voted to raise the benchmark lending rate there to 4%. That's the highest we've seen again since 2008. The majority saying that strong pay growth and an ongoing shortage of workers were driving price pressures in the economy. However, the BOE's latest forecasts show that inflation is likely to fall sharply this year down to around 4%, and that's down from 11% last October. Those findings suggest that policymakers may not need to raise rates much more. Today, BOE Governor Andrew Bailey struck an optimistic yet cautious tone.
We are going to react to the information and the evidence that we see. We haven't pre-announced an intention because we have reached a point. You know, as I've said before, I think we have started to turn a corner. That's encouraging. There's a long way to go and there are a lot of risks.
Bailey also pointed out that the bank's projections were inherently uncertain because of volatile energy and commodity markets. Still, the BOE dropped guidance that it was willing to respond forcefully to inflation if needed. That could be a sign that the Bank of England may be near the end of its rate hike cycle. And Doug, I was struck by the incredible drop in the 10-year UK gilt, 30 basis points lower, and the 10-year German Bund down 20 basis points.
Yeah, it seems like the market is really expecting us to move beyond this tightening regime that we've been in globally, whether it's the Fed, whether it's the ECB or the BOE, and maybe it spells optimism for risk assets, but you wouldn't know it with the earnings that we had after the bell. We talked about Apple, Amazon, and Alphabet. We didn't touch on Qualcomm. That stock got hit a little bit in the late session after a pretty lackluster quarterly sales forecast, and it kind of intersects with the Apple story, Brian, because it suggests sales in terms of mobile handsets, I mean, we're going to continue to see a drag well into the year.
Well, there's those individual stories, but then there's the big macro overhang. And whether you're buying stocks or handicapping China or trying to analyze the Fed, you can look beyond the next 6 months, but you still have to go through them. And we're going to see a lot of volatility. And I think that is something that there's just no way to escape.
Yeah, and a big question mark on the reopening story in China. It's not just Apple talking about navigating its way through that, but look at Starbucks. I mean, weakness there, that contributed to a big drop in sales.
Yeah, and Canada Goose, a story I'll tell later, that stock down 24% in New York, and it spoke of weakness in China. It's time for global news. A lot of movement around the issues facing the U.S.-China relationship, from chips to military bases. Ed Baxter has global news in the 960 newsroom in San Francisco. Ed?
Yeah, Brian, it's a big basket, and let's add surveillance balloon. The Pentagon says it is tracking a suspected Chinese high-altitude surveillance balloon. The Pentagon says for several days it has made its way over the northern U.S. The Pentagon says it has decided not to shoot it down at this point, but it will not say where it is now. So a surveillance balloon. Meanwhile, on his trip to Beijing, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, expected to meet with President Xi Jinping. The FT story says it would be making him the first U.S. Secretary of State to sit down with Xi in the nearly 6 years. Blinken is scheduled to be there Sunday and Monday. Beijing, meanwhile, is trying to blunt U.S. moves to form new alliances regarding chip manufacture and supply. This comes just days after Japan and the Netherlands joined the U.S. in agreeing to restrict some high-technology exports to China. The foreign ministry says China will continue upholding market principles and openness toward ties. There's some growing thought in the U.S. that between what's happening in Ukraine and trying to contain China around the issue of Taiwan, that the U.S. military may be spread too thin. Republican Representative Josh Hawley.
If China invaded Taiwan today, Taiwan would fall. So that's the honest truth. We cannot both carry the main burden in Ukraine, which we're doing currently, and get to where we need to be to deter a war with China.
But U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who made yesterday's announcement regarding the Philippines, says the U.S. has to prepare for threats around the globe. And speaking of that, the U.S. will now begin the process of building 4 new military bases in the Philippines, this in the wake of granted access. The U.S. says it will allow more rapid support for humanitarian and climate-related disasters in the Philippines and respond to other shared challenges. So that would be a direct reference to security in the South China Sea and threats from China. U.S. House Republicans are systematically removing Democrats from important committee positions. Democrats Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell. Recently and today, Representative Ilhan Omar ousted from the Foreign Affairs Committee. Republican leadership says she's made offensive remarks in the past. Bloomberg's Jeannie Shanzano.
She has apologized for those. Does that rise to the level of removal? These are conversations that have to be had. And unfortunately, we don't see those moving forward. So I suspect when Democrats get the House back at some point, there will be some form of retribution.
And even the former Republican National Committee Communications Director, Linda Camuso-Miller, on Balance of Power, says this is all just a distraction.
The difficulty in Washington is that partisanship has absolutely reached an all-time high, and it makes it almost impossible to get anything done. But these kinds of tactics that we're using in order to vote others off of committees is absolutely a distraction and not the work the people want us to do.
The fear being it will spill over to the bipartisan passage of important legislation, and the FBI seeking information regarding the cyber attack on London-based Ion on trading in the UK. The cyber attack snared global derivatives trading, and the FBI has reached out asking how customers were affected. Global News, more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter. This is Bloomberg.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Curtis, along with Rashad Salamat. And our guest is Jack McIntyre, portfolio manager at Brandywine Global. Jack, you've made the point that central banks are not as important to markets this year as they were last year. Why?
Yeah, the reason being, Brian, is, you know, last year, it almost didn't matter what the data was. I mean, we were in an inflation storm. Central banks just tightened the grip incredibly aggressively. 2023 will be a year where that tightening works its way into the real economy. In part, I think that was part of the reaction you had today or yesterday in response to the Fed, response to the ECB and the Bank of England. Right now, on the surface, they were still hawkish. But, you know, the markets are more forward looking, and I think the central bank's going to have to be more forward looking. They're going to be more data dependent. They're going to probably follow the markets as opposed to the markets following the Fed.
Jack, absolutely. Because we're getting to a point where, you know, they stop, pause, then the conversation really goes away from them. Let's hope they don't think it's all about them and do something rash.
Yeah, I think it's a good point in the sense that, you know, we're getting, you know, not surprisingly, you know, we're getting closer to that pause. And they've got to set the narrative that pause does not automatically mean that they're going to be cutting rates, although the markets have kind of gotten ahead of them from that standpoint. But, you know, I was just thinking about it. You know, as central banks tighten today, in theory, that's not going to impact the economies until 2024. So it was all about the tightening from last year.
Well, and I think that is a point that, you know, being the devil's advocate, rejects what you say, that central banks aren't as important this year because their actions from last year will weigh in this year, and thus they will be more important.
Well, and I agree. I would not push back on that because I agree. It reinforces the actions that they did last year were important because my thesis is that, and reasons I like treasuries in particular, is that this lag effect from all this tightening of financial conditions is going to impact, in this case, the U.S. economy at a time where we already know it's slowing. We're way beyond peak inflation. Inflation's already coming down. So it's going to be kind of a trifecta of slowing economy, putting more downward pressure on inflation. And that's going to be good for bonds and has been good for bonds this year.
Perhaps the jobs report not going to be as important as been in the months past, but certainly will be. Your take on that, and then your take also on, you know, this huge rise in productivity and what it means for your strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the employment report, it's another hurdle we kind of have to get through. You know, every cycle, employment is a lagging indicator. I feel as though this cycle is probably extra lagging just because companies have struggled to find workers. My view is if it comes in close to expectations, and I haven't tracked anything that suggests that it shouldn't be close to expectations, but as that just means that we're at a slow pace. We are seeing less job growth. I think markets will like that. So yeah, it was very interesting. Today, you know, the unit labor cost coming in weak. Again, this gets us a little bit more towards a mild recession, maybe a soft landing. I think that's the big issue that markets have to figure out. To really get inflation down more, do we need the recession? Do we need a soft landing? And that unit labor cost tells us, you know, maybe we don't need quite as hard a recession to get inflation lower, particularly because the central banks and the Fed in particular talk about that service inflation, and that's really driven by labor.
I can definitely see that line of thinking, but you wonder whether or not both the bond and the stock markets are looking beyond what the actions are to later in the year when conditions could be better. When, you know, you really still have to live through the effects of what they did last year. Are we reacting too soon?
That's a tough one. It's part of the art of money management versus the science, trying to figure out when exactly is sort of the lag effect. And again, it shouldn't be off to the races in terms of risk assets doing well. You look at Apple's earnings, Amazon, Google's. I mean, there's the challenge of bottom up impacting companies versus maybe the inflationary backdrop at the 40,000 foot level. It is improving, but I just think the macro backdrop is improving.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, your morning brief on the stories making news from Hong Kong to Singapore and Wall Street.
Look for us on your podcast feed every day on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
You can also listen live each day on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Brian Curtis.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Join us again tomorrow for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.